what it is. So in John chapter 21 here, you see that in verse 1, as you go down from verse 1 all the way about to verse 5, you see that Jesus has come and he's spending time with the disciples come morning. He had asked them to wait for him down at Galilee, and he comes in the morning and he finds the men fishing. Now, this is after the resurrection of Christ. Christ had already done resurrected. He's walking down to the sea and he sees these men fishing. And now, mind you that these were strong men. If you were a fisherman back in the day, and even if you're a fisherman today, it takes some strength, right? We've talked about the hard weather that a lot of fishermen deal with. There's a commercial fisherman out there in this weather this morning. That's how they make a living, right? They're not in the house of God as they should be, but they're out working hard trying to make a living for themselves. And we know that the fisherman there is just, it's a tough job. But these fishermen knew what they were doing. See, I want you to picture the fact here that Jesus has said, hey, meet me in the morning down in Galilee. You just wait for me there. But when he gets there, he finds they're not waiting on him at all. They actually went fishing. And Jesus doesn't scold them. He doesn't reprimand them. He doesn't beat them over the head. He just simply says, hey, fellas, catching anything? Look at verse 5. Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Now, I want you to notice the significance of the word no there. And most people would read over this, and I've read over this before and looked over it. Before, when you saw the disciples interacting with Jesus, they would answer him, Master or Lord. Am I right? Here, they just simply reply with no. They don't say no, Lord. They don't say no, Master. No, Rabboni. They just say no. Hey, boys, catching anything? No. And you would ask yourself, why are they not saying Lord? Why are they not saying Master? Well, verse 6 tells us. And he said unto, verse 7 tells us, but we'll get to it. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, who we know to be as John, the disciple that Jesus loved is John. Peter is here, but the disciple that Jesus loved is John, saith unto Peter. So John saith unto Peter, it is the what? So at first, when Jesus came walking out and he said, hey, boys, catching anything? They replied, no. Well, they didn't recognize at that time that it was Christ. He was so far off. But also keep in mind, these are the disciples. These are the ones that walked hand in hand, foot in foot with Jesus Christ. But they were so far away from the Lord, they didn't even recognize him. You following me so far? All right. So he's just been resurrected. Remember, they were a little depressed. They were a little upset that he had died. But then, of course, they didn't even believe that he was resurrected, but then got excited about him. Then he came to him in the upper room, right? And Thomas finally saw, and Thomas believed. Remember, originally Thomas doubted. This is just after meeting in the upper room. This is just after that time in which they spent together. So now, in verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. Here were the fishermen reverting back to their previous days of salvation. Remember where Jesus found Andrew and Simon Peter? He found them fishing at first. Andrew came across the Lord, and Andrew goes to Peter and said, hey, I found the Messiah. Well, let's go spend time with them. And Jesus said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. So they got saved. They followed Jesus and they left their comfort zone. They went out of their comfort zone to follow the Savior. Are you following me? Well, now guess what? They're uncomfortable again. They're uncomfortable again because their Messiah isn't exactly what they had hoped. Although Jesus had warned them and prepared them for what it would be, they're still a little off. So they're reverting back to their old ways. How do I know that they're backslidden and reverting back to their old ways? Peter was naked. any Christian clothing in his right mind is not getting naked in public. Right? But this man is backslidden and he's naked amongst the other men. And Jesus had caught him off guard, so to speak. Caught him in a situation. Now he's even more uncomfortable than he was in the first place. Right? Are you following along? So you're getting the whole picture here, right? Jesus comes up. They don't recognize him. Fellas, you catching anything? Nope, not catching nothing. Cast your net on the other side. You catch a whole bunch of fish. The Bible tells us later on it was 153 fish. It tells us in the same passage as you look down. It says 153 fish. So go from one side of the boat, not catching anything. Go to the other side of the boat, got 153 fish. And Simon, or and the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, that's the Lord. Ho, give me my coat. Right? So they're backslidden. They had known Christ, but they were backslidden away from Christ. You follow me? All right? Now, so then understanding the context, moving forward. These were the men that had traveled with Jesus. They had seen Zacchaeus. They had seen the rooftop replaced or displaced so that the man could get taken out of his house so that he could get to the Lord. They'd seen the woman that touched the hem of his garment. They'd seen the woman caught in adultery. They saw the woman at the well. They saw salvation experience after salvation experience. They witnessed the death, the burial, and then they saw Jesus Christ alive again. They've seen the resurrection of Christ himself. They've been through all of this with Jesus Christ, but still reverting back to their old ways. So I shouldn't get so caught off guard when a brother and sister in Christ backslides a little bit. It happens. It happens. Not permitting it, not giving permission for it, simply saying it happens. We all stumble from time to time. We all get off course, so to speak. Ever been there? Don't raise your hand. Ever been there? Spiritually, you've been there. I didn't read my Bible as much this week as often. I didn't pray this much as I have been. I didn't think about others as often as I should. I didn't go to church, maybe. I didn't open my scriptures at all this week. It happens. We fall victim to it often to ourselves. It happens. But follow along. But after the resurrection, they revert back to their old selves so quickly. So when Jesus walks up, says, catch in an avang, they said, no. He said, cast it on the other side. Well, look at verse 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus was ready for them getting back right with the Lord. You see that? What was ready on the land? Hot fire. Coals. Ready for your meal. You following along? He knew they were backslidden. He had told them to meet me there in the morning and they left him. They went away to fish. I ain't waiting on that Jesus no more. I ain't coming to that church on Sunday. Y'all can have it. Backslidden. Doing wrong. Okay? But verse 9, Jesus still had a prepared place for them when they were ready to return. Now, look at verse 10. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish, which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. I put here in my notes, come home, your father really loves you. Come home, your father really loves you. Anytime you get backslidden in God, come home. Your father loves you. He didn't beat him over the head and say, hey, big dummy, why are you out there naked in the middle of the water? Hey, goofball, don't you know better? Haven't I taught you better than that? You didn't see these miracles? You didn't walk side by side with me when all these things happened? And now you're going goofing off, getting naked in the middle of the water? He didn't say that. Not one time. He didn't mention, Peter, you were naked. Peter, you were out of sorts, Peter. What's wrong with you, son? Weren't you thinking clearly? Never said that. He said, hey, fellas, catching anything? Cast your net on the other side. I got some fire ready to cook it. Come on up. Ready to go. I'm going to feed you. Come on. You ready? I'm ready. You seeing it? Are you following it so far? All right. Verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. They knew who it was. They were very aware of what was going on. I put here, Lord, you'll take me back? Question mark. Lord, I turned my back on you, God. Lord, I forsook the church. God, everything you had taught me, I walked away from it. Lord, everything that I ever learned to be right, I left it, God. And you still want me to come home. I've been waiting for you to come back. Verse 13. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. I put here in verse 13, without question, he answered. Absolutely, I'm ready for your return. Come spend time with me. I love you. Ain't it good to have a Savior that welcomes you back?
Amen.
Ain't it good that even though we despise him intentionally, he lets it go, so to speak, and says, sit down. I'm just glad you're home.
Amen.
Isn't that the story of the prodigal son? He left. He went off. Prodigal son goes away, does everything that he wants to do, spends his money how he wants to spend it, forgets everything he'd ever been taught. And the father said, my boy's home. He's home. Strike up the fatted calf. Get the best garments I got. Get a bucket of water. Put the drinks on the table. My son is home. And it's good to know that there's a home. You're never too far away from Jesus that he won't take you back.
Amen.
He's always your father. He's always your father. Verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So this is the third time that they had seen him since his resurrection. Okay? Verse 14. Time passes. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? There's a dialogue that begins to take place now between Jesus and Peter. And notice the grace of Jesus. Notice that Jesus did not ask him previous to the meal. He asked him after the meal. What is the significance here of why Jesus would ask Peter after he ate? Because he didn't want to ruin his meal. Because what's about to happen between Simon between Simon Peter and Jesus, Peter's not going to have a very good evening. So if he had had this conversation previous to eating, Peter wouldn't have enjoyed his meal very much. But the grace of Jesus to allow him the moment and the time to sit and enjoy another meal under the Savior, before we have what I call a come to Jesus meeting. They're about to have a come to Jesus meeting. But I want you to notice as we go through it, the type of come to Jesus meeting. Son of Jonas is an official title. That's like my mom used to say, Jason Michael. It's a little bit different than Jason, isn't it? Mamas, y'all used to do that, didn't you? Huh? Madison Grace. Gotta go. Huh? If I say, Camden, he'll get to it. Like, he's coming. He's not, you know, he's just finishing whatever he's got to do. Camden Michael! Yes? Big difference, right? Big difference. So he didn't say, hey, Peter. He said, Simon, son of Jonas. Yes, Lord? Huh? Talking to me? How can I help? At your service? Lovest thou me more than these? What? Yea, Lord, you know me. You know I love you more than these. Feed my lambs. What is he talking about? Feed my lambs. What do you mean? Okay, Jesus is kind of crazy. Got resurrected, coming back. A little weird now. What's going on? Simon, son of Jonas. He uses son of Jonas again. Jason Michael. Lovest thou me more than these? God, why would you ask me the second time? God, I answered you the first time. Did I stutter, God? Did I say something wrong, Lord? Yes, I love you. You know I love you. Third time. Why would you ask the same question three times? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter is grieved. It says grieved. Why would my Savior ask me three times? I have walked side by side with this man. I have seen his miracles over and over again. I've dined with him. Why is he asking me if I love him? Well, let's take a time out and ask the same question backwards. This man, Peter, has walked side by side with me. This man, Peter, has seen miracle after miracle after miracle. This man, Peter, was brought out of his wicked ways. This man, Peter, denied me three times. Peter does everything in threes, by the way, if you look throughout the scripture. And Peter yet still turned his back on me and couldn't wait for me this morning. And he walks out into the middle of the water naked. So then Jesus could be just as dumbfounded as Peter is. Peter said, why, God, why are you asking me if I still love you? What are you asking me the same question three times for? And Jesus could be seen saying, what are you doing out naked in the middle of the water for? Don't you love me? Didn't I teach you better than that? But notice, he never mentioned that. Because the real work that's about to be done is going to be done in the heart of Peter. Not through the words of Christ alone. The words are going to resonate in his heart and something's going to change. Follow along as we go through it, you'll see. What are these? So it says, lovest thou me more than these? And you can find different commentaries and different, you know, studies on what the these is. But I've narrowed it down myself, and most scholars believe that it's one of three things. When Jesus asks, and none of them are 100% accurate, by the way, you could justify either of them. You won't find an exact answer in scripture as to what these are. But these could be one of three things. Lovest thou me more than these could be, do you love me more than these disciples love me? That could be the first set of these. It could be, Peter, do you love me more than John loves me? Do you love me more than Andrew loves me? Do you love me more than James loves me? That could be the first set of these. The second set of these could be, do you love these disciples more than you love me? So the first way is, do you love me more than these disciples love me? The second is, do you love these disciples more than you love me? Do you love your friends, Peter, more than you love me? That could be the second. And the third could quite simply be this. Fish. Peter, do you love your old ways so much that you would deny me again? Do you love these more than you love me? So, any one of them applies to you and me. We all have something in our lives that we may put first. We all have something in our lives that we may love more. And every single one of us can be found going backwards in life from time to time, almost back to our comfort zone. These men knew how to fish. They were very good fishermen. This was their life. So in a time of despair, in a time of confusion, in a time where there was a lack of faith, they went back to what they were comfortable with. Doesn't that happen from time to time? Don't you go back? You start talking the way you used to talk. Have you ever noticed that when you go back to the way things used to be, it's never the same? You look for it. You were hoping it was going to be the same, but it's not the same. You know why? You got something different. And what used to be ain't so anymore. So they're trying to go back to their comfort zone, but notice they ain't catching any fish. And Jesus walks up and says, "Hey, fellas, how's it going without me?" I can see him lifting up his trousers, straightening up his jacket, getting his tie right, because Jesus wore ties. "How's it going, fellas? How's everything?" Cashing that on the other side. "How you doing now? Come on, fellas, let's eat." Can you see the story so far? Are you following along? I'm not a storyteller, but can you capture the message so far? We're gonna bring this plane to land here. Jesus asked the same question three times, but in three different contexts. Peter answers three different times, but all in the same context. So when Jesus asks the question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" he asks it three different ways, although the wording is the same. You know how sometimes when you send a text message or a Facebook message to somebody and you don't know the tone in which they're replying? So you can see the words, and just because the words say one thing, it could mean something totally different. So, like when I say, Rich, you ugly. Rich knows I'm joking. But if I were to text that to Rich, if I were to text, "Rich, you ugly." "What? What are you calling me ugly for?" Right? But if I'm in person and I say, "Rich, you ugly," he knows I'm joking. He can tell my facial expressions. He can tell in my joking manner that I'm kidding. Right? That I don't really think he's ugly, just half ugly. Right? But there's a different context understood, right? So you can have the same words, but they mean something differently. Same thing is happening with Jesus here. He's asking Peter, "Do you love me deeply? In the root of your heart, Peter, do you love me?" And Peter answers, "Yeah, Lord, I'm fond of you. I'm fond of you." Hey, Christian, do you love Jesus? Or are you just happy to know him? Big difference. Hey, Peter, walk side by side with me. You've seen miracle after miracle, but you still don't love me very much, do you? And Jesus knows the answer, but he wants Peter to understand the answer. So then the second time he asks it, he says, not only do you love me deeply, the question can be found, do you love me like I love you? Even deeper. The root is even deeper and stronger now. Wait a second, God. There's no way I could love you as much as you love me. I didn't die on a cross for you, Jesus. You died on a cross for me. Feed my sheep. If you love me, Peter, feed my sheep. Then he asked the third time, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And the third time he asked it, he's saying, "With all of your heart." Not just a deep love. Not just a love reciprocated like a savior. But do you love me with the whole thing? "Well, yes, Lord. You know I've answered you two times before. Yes, God, I am fond of you." And then it struck Peter like a freight train, smacked to the forehead. And Peter was grieved because the question made a difference in the heart of Peter. "I don't know, God. Man, Lord, I guess I don't. Because Peter, if you loved me more than these, there's no way in the world you'd be out naked in the middle of the sea, fishing from what I told you I would provide for you anyway. But Jesus already knew that. He needed Peter to recognize it. And remember, God never asks you a question that he needs an answer to. God always asks you a question that he wants you to have the answer to. Like when Jesus, like when God was walking in the garden. Adam! Where you at, buddy? Adam! Hey! Where you at, son? You think Adam just had a great hiding spot? Adam was just able to hide from God under some bushes? Covered himself in dirt, maybe? Dove to the bottom of the sea? Like God wouldn't know where Adam is. But Adam, do you understand that you're running from the Father? Do you understand that you're hiding from me and why you're hiding from me? Because now, Adam, you're on your way to hell and you weren't on your way there before. And you know it now. So you're running. But you can't hide. Why would you hide from the one who made you? What sense does that make? Now, come here, Adam. That fig leaf that you got isn't covering enough. Let me go ahead and kill this lamb. Sacrifice this animal to give you a covering. Now, Adam, carry on with your life. Praise God. Running from him. Leaving God behind. For what? A piece of fruit. Because some pretty lady listened to some dumb devil and now ruined all of mankind for all of eternity. Just come home, Adam. Just come home. I'll fix it. Hey, Peter. You big dummy. I got you out of this fishing business long ago, but you just want to keep going back like a dog returns to his vomit. Like a pig to the slop, you just want to go right back to where you were before. That's okay. Come on. Come on. I've got fire here. It'll cook everything you got. It'll fill your belly. But then I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to talk to you. Lovest thou me more than these? It's the provocation that forces Peter to examine himself. It's like me asking my son, hey, Cam, your room clean? Yeah, it's pretty clean. Is your room clean? Well, then they start thinking about it, don't they? I thought it was. Yeah, I picked my clothes up off the floor, made my bed. My toys aren't out all over the floor. Yeah, it's clean. Camden, is your room clean? Well, I mean, I didn't dust it. I mean, I didn't wipe the window. There's a mess in my closet. I guess it's not clean. But had I walked in there and let's just say I see a book. Let's just say Camden's room is spotless other than this book right here. And I walk in and say, what is this? You can't keep a clean room? What's wrong with you? You can't do right? This book is in the way. You can't put it back? You messed up again, son. You messed up. Is that going to help him? That ain't going to help him. Is Jesus coming to you, beating you on top of the head, going to help you every time? Not going to happen. But he will, from time to time, ask a question. Hey, son. Is your room clean? Well, I think it is. Did you check it real good? Well, I guess I could look again. I mean, I thought it was pretty clean. You know, it looked pretty clean. Is it clean, clean? I could probably touch this up a little bit. I could probably dust that off and clean that windowsill and maybe get that window clean. And, you know, I could probably hang up a few things and I'll get on that. Okay. Which is more helpful? Amen. Sometimes it's the provocation. Imposing doesn't always work. Selling the why is what sparks the change. Wouldn't say you don't love me. He'll let you ask and answer yourself. Do you love me? He didn't go up to Peter and say, you don't love me. Jesus didn't walk up to Peter and say, you big dummy. You don't love me. You don't love me. And don't we do that from time to time? Like guilt trip on somebody? Y'all don't love me. Don't come around and see me no more. Don't buy me nothing for Father's Day. You guys don't love me no more. Here's how you get your answer on Father's Day. If you want a new car for Father's Day, don't you love me? Don't you want to buy me something real nice on Father's Day? It'll be much better to say, you don't love me. You're right, I don't love you. Get out of here. Don't love you. Leave me alone, you stink. Don't touch me. Stay away. Right? There's ways to get what you need. There's ways to get what you need. He had him ask himself and answer himself. He wanted Peter to evaluate. He wanted Peter to evaluate and assess for himself. Do you love me? So now the whole sermon is based on this, and I'm finished in just a minute. Do you love Jesus? Or are you just fond of him? Because it would be hard-pressed to say that everybody in this room loves Jesus with the deep of their heart. Peter didn't even do it. So why would I think that an average Christian loves him more than Peter loved him? And you're not accountable to me, because Christ can do way more for you than I can. But do you love Jesus more than you love your fish? Do you love Jesus more than you love your friends? Do you love Jesus more than your old ways? I don't know the answer to that question. But the answer to that question will change your life. Do you love Jesus more than that TV show? Do you love Jesus more than them drugs or that alcohol? Do you love Jesus more than the gossip and tearing down of another person? Do you love Jesus more than the hatred that you spew one towards another? Do you love Jesus more than the advantage that you try to take over another, or the manipulation in which you try to have over another, or the ways in which you like to press your spirit upon somebody else because you're right and everybody else is wrong? Do you love me more than these? Because when we answer those questions, then things can start to change in our life. Do you love me enough, Christian, that you would come to church when the doors are open? Do you love me enough, Christian, that you would serve in a ministry somewhere when I needed you to? Do you love me enough, Christian, that you can make time for me? Instead of finding time for me, you can make time for me. Do you lovest thou me more than these? That's more life-changing than the preacher saying, you don't love him. You don't do this. You don't do that. You don't love him. No, I'll let you answer the question. I'll let you answer the question. Do you love him more than these? Answer the these for yourself. Do you love me more than these? How do I know if I love Jesus? Three quick points and I'm finished. I promise you won't be more than 3-4 minutes. Verse 15. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Do you feed his lambs? See, there's a stage here of the three lambs, sheep, and sheep. When Jesus says, feed my lambs, then he says, feed my sheep, and then he says, feed my sheep. Just like when he asked the question in three different contexts, he said, feed my sheep in three different contexts. The first context in which he's saying it is a set of infancy. Notice that he used the word lambs. Take it in, absorb it like a sponge, follow your leader as they show you the way. Do you feed his lambs by taking in, as a child would take in knowledge, do you absorb the knowledge? Do you absorb it? Do you not just listen to it and not just set it beside you, but do you absorb it in your soul? That would be the first answer to whether or not you love Jesus. Do you absorb the teachings of Jesus? Do you feed my lambs? Number two, did you feed the sheep? Verse 16. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He said here, are you involved? He said here, are you participating? Are you on board with what I'm doing, Peter? That's the second way in which he asked it. The first way said, do you absorb my teaching? Are you taking what I'm giving you and sharing it with somebody else because you've learned it and applied it? Secondly, are you on board with me? Are you doing the things in which we want done, which we need done as a congregation, Peter? Are you on board with me, Peter? And then thirdly, how do I know if I love Jesus or not? Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. The third time, the implication is this. You're too familiar with me now, aren't you? You've seen me for too long. You've been with me too many places. You've seen my answers too many times. You've witnessed my miracles so time and time and time again. And now it's old hat to you, isn't it, Peter? Oh, yeah, that church house on Sunday. Oh, yeah, that old bus running on Sunday. Oh, yeah, that old Sunday school class I got the teacher. Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. Boy, that was hard. Boy, that took up a lot of time and energy. Too old for it. Been doing it too long. Been around it before. I'm past that. I don't have to sing specials in church anymore. I did that for years. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You've got the infancy stage, you've got the adolescent stage, and then you've got the mature stage. Three different stages of sheep. And he asked the question, do you love me more than these? And the answer to the question is, are you absorbing all of his teachings and applying them? Are you participating in his goals? Or are you just past that? And your answers to those questions, not on my assessment, but on your own personal assessment between you and the Lord, do you love him? Do you love him? Or are you just fond and happy that he's around? Because those change your life. You're fond of him. Oh, I like having him. Oh, yeah, he's really nice. I love having Jesus around. Okay, well, then you're going to get the fondness. Do you love him? Now you're going to get your life changed for the better. Shall we all stand?